Petrus.
My apologies, I thought you were supposed to be down.
Peggy, good job. Good.
It's so awkward.
Okay, we're gonna start back up. I hope everybody doesn't mind, but we have to eat, and we apologize for, it's just awkward to eat in front of people, but we haven't had any food today, so, and we've been here for a couple hours. Spencer, could you, the next item for Derek, please?
Sure. Next item is a discussion again on public engagement plan for Newport Housing Capacity and Production Strategy Project. Finalize that so that we can proceed in engaging as much of the public in a variety of ways during the course of this.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and touch on it. Peggy, if you could put the screen back up, that would be great. No worries. So with any significant planning initiative that we undertake, we have a public engagement element, and it differs depending on what we're trying to accomplish. Different projects have different focus points. And so for the housing study, as we call the housing capacity analysis and production strategy that we're embarking on over the next, it's actually 12 to 16 months, to complete all of it. It'll be handled in phases. We'll do part one with it by the end of this calendar year and part two within the 16-month window. So we have put together a plan. It was in your packet. I trust you had a chance to take a look at that. We have vetted that plan with the Planning Commission and with the Housing Study Advisory Committee and made refinements based on the feedback from both groups. And that plan, which is going back up on the screen here, you know, it outlines what we're trying to accomplish in terms of just, you know, better understand Newport's housing needs and residential land challenges, which is focus point of the project, identifying barriers to building housing, considering land constraints, regulatory issues, market feasibility, and the like, identifying strategies to overcome those barriers, and evaluate strategies to achieve fair and equitable housing outcomes. So we kind of frame what we're trying to accomplish. We then, in terms of community engagement, there are a number of points where we're doing community engagement. They're outlined in here. One, the Housing Study Advisor Committee is a form of community engagement. They'll be meeting 9 times through the course of this project to provide feedback and guidance as we go along. That's the project advisory committee. Policy-making bodies like the Planning Commission and Council to inform this. Service providers, developers, community members, with a focus on reaching underrepresented communities. Your Latinx community, your houseless population. To get a firm and better and broader understanding of the housing challenges that each of these respective communities face. Part of that's going to be handled with individual stakeholder interviews, and then part of it will be what we call a Newport Housing Conversation Guide that we're going to put together, and then get that in the hands of folks that are connected with these various communities to try to broaden that conversation out. And we'll be working through the Housing Study Advisory Committee. There are a number of very talented people on that committee and their connections as well to reach as many people as possible through this process. So we'll be spending the bulk of our engagement resources there with the stakeholder interviews and with the housing conversation guide, working with our partners to reach as many people as possible to get as broad and as deep an understanding as we can of the housing challenges in this community. And and the opportunities we have as well. The developer community, we're going to actually have a targeted discussion with them. This gets at the housing constructability assessment component of the project, which is I've explained it in the context of kind of your traffic signal, you know, red light, yellow light, green light concept, which is, you know, we have this land within our urban growth boundary, quite a bit of it actually, that's developable or currently what we would say underdeveloped or underutilized, where it could be redeveloped for housing purposes. And so that's the conversation with them to get the full context of the market challenges, land costs, financing issues, labor materials costs, and to take a look at, okay, you know, we have this land within our urban, urban growth boundary. Which of these lands really we're not going to be able to service because they're just, it's too expensive for infrastructure, for example. That'd be kind of your red category, so let's carve those out. And then the green would be what we have pretty good services too, so we can reasonably expect housing will be there. But then there's going to be that kind of middle category, that yellow category, where it's, if we make targeted investments with what limited resources the city has for infrastructure, which of those areas are going to likely bear fruit in terms of additional housing? You know, which of those that if we make those types of investments, we could reasonably expect to see housing, and we'll look at different types of housing, not just single-family detached, but we'll look at about a half a dozen different products in that conversation with the housing developers. So, you know, in terms of general public events, you know, given the amount of resources we're going to be doing in these other aspects, and we talked about this with Planning Commission and the Housing Study Advice Committee, is we're going to do three general public events. That's our plan. First would be an online event to present the results of the, at least the draft results of the housing capacity analysis. So what did we learn in terms of issues? What have we learned in terms of the socioeconomic analysis that's been done as part of the project? You know, so that's, you know, and then we'll do an in-person event for housing strategies. And we're thinking we might even be able to do that where we kind of break into small groups and we'll work on some different engagement techniques to kind of tease out and leverage the expertise we have in the room to get as many of those housing strategies, you know, identified. And we'll provide some stuff to get the conversation going. And then we'd wrap that up with a final, you know, online event where, you know, people would have a chance to see, okay, how's this come together? Are they comfortable with how this come together? Because there would still be room for some adjustments before it goes to the adoption process. So that's really what we have outlined in here. And then I included at the end a schedule that shows where, you know, the different meetings are going to land. The PAC meetings would be the Housing Study Advisory Committee. And then there's also on that schedule where we would land the broader public events. So anyway, this is just an opportunity for you as a council. If you have questions or thoughts, or if there are any adjustments you think we ought to be making to the plan, now's the time, because this is going to guide us over the next 12 to 16 months as we develop this plan.
Okay, Jan, and then CM.
Yeah, I did read through a lot of that, and the one area I'd like to see get a little more attention is, and particularly my experience or some experience going through the transportation system planning, is I would really advocate, if possible, for more in-person presentations and working. Because it's when you do something online, it's me in the line. And I, just speaking for me personally, trying to understand, and you do a great, I have to say, I'm often incredibly impressed with the work that you do, and with very complex issues, but you do it full time. And I get up in the middle of the night looking, and I say, I don't know what the heck this is. It really helps to be in a room with other people and hear discussion, not just my own thoughts. And I think for other folks to be engaged, you have to have context. And to understand some of this stuff, it gets very complicated. I love that red, yellow, green analogy, because that made it, okay, I can picture that. Mm-hmm. That type of stuff, I think, makes it easier for people to get engaged, because the more you can net it down to something that people can understand and interact with, then you get more engagement and you get better information from folks. So those are just my thoughts, but as much as I know we have limited staffing to produce netting the complicated down to the simple is really hard. Mm-hmm. But to the degree that we can, then people can get engaged because they understand it better.
Okay.
And that's just my thoughts. And
well, what I can do is talk to Eco Northwest and see if we can't hybridize maybe some of the online, where we provide online and an in-person mm-hmm. option. Mm-hmm. Because different people choose to engage based on their time and availability in different ways.
Right, right. You know. Yeah, I think having multiple and people engage differently. So I think having more of that.
Okay, CM?
Derek, I just wanted to ask about the composition of the project advisory committee and in the different categories of folks. I don't see, and maybe the closest category would be service providers, but I don't think that's hitting the mark. I do think a realtor who's been in our community for a long time would be a valuable asset to having that perspective on this committee.
On the housing study advisory committee, we're fortunate enough to have a couple of them.
Oh, good.
So we have Bonnie Saxton with Advantage Realty. She's actually representing the hospital district, but she's bringing that real estate background. And then we have Wendy Hernandez. She's with Dolphin, also a realtor, representing the Latinx community. So that worked out well.
Okay, Beatrice?
It's great to hear that you have somebody from the Latinx community, but I also share with the person who is doing the group, mm-hmm. if they are willing to take it beyond to Spanish. We have mom speakers in this
yes.
community.
Mm-hmm.
And please, can you share with her, maybe finding some interpreters, you know, that can help. But also, we have a great... one of those meetings, you know, where we had it at the recreation center where mm-hmm. families can come and they interact with each other.
Yeah.
That was really good, nice, because they got a free pass to the park and recreation, but at the same time, you know, they got some meals, you know, we're talking mm-hmm. about the planning. I think it's like a more family welcoming to find more information about this para housing.
Any further questions, Ryan?
Well, Derek, I would say that I guess my concern is how long this takes, but that's a side issue, I suppose. As this process goes forward, I wonder if there are ways that we can develop internal policies to help accompany whatever the final results are, like stair-stepped, you know, rollouts of SDCs and a list of partners willing to work on shovel-ready projects and a tax structure possibly that would encourage landowners to either allow development of their property to a partnership to get units going, so that when we, well, it won't be me, but there's a few folks up here who will be around in 18 months. You know, the continuity, rather than just waiting and then having further meetings, let's take the opportunity to have some sort of framework to take whatever this study tells us to actually turn that into something, I guess is my concern. I bet there's plenty of binders back there in the planning office, and my hope is that this turns into actual housing for actual residents as much as we possibly can for the expenditure.
Sure. No, that's fair. Any plan that we do needs to be a plan that's implemented. A plan on the shelf is good to nobody. One of the things we're going to be doing with through this process is, and we're going to be working with the housing committee on this, is we'll go through all of the strategies we implemented since the last time we did this effort in 2011 and then adjusted in 2014. We've implemented most of the strategy recommendations that came out of that. And I think part of this process will be which of those have been successful, which of those have led to, you know, a meaningful impact on the ground, and which of those haven't, and those that haven't, should they be adjusted? And then part of this will then be also identifying strategies we have not yet pursued, and, you know, which of those makes sense to pursue in the coming years. And then identifying, and to your point, Councillor Parker, too, who some of the leads might be on some of these different strategies so that they can be followed up on in a timely manner. You know, some strategies can be implemented in short periods of time. Other strategies require longer periods of time. It really kind of depends on which one's in play. They all need to be pursued, but setting out a logical sequence by which that can happen, I think, would help.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks, Derek. Mm-hmm.
Further questions or comments for Derek? Okay, thank you, Derek.
Thank you.
Anything further, Spencer?
This meeting, we'll have a urban renewal meeting starting at 6, and then immediately following that, then it will be the city council.
So the urban renewal is at 6?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's right now.
Right. With that, we'll convene the work session, and we'll start back up with Ryan at 6.
Include?
You can sit here if you want.
No.